Do you hear what I hear? Because I hear some fish frying. Hey! Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry. This here electronic engineering podcast brought to you by eejournal.com and written, produced, and hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. So we were supposed to be here last week, and you're late. No, alas, my Johnson & Johnson vaccine thought better of half of my plans for last week, and I spent about 40 hours in bed. But I'm completely better now and ready to talk about some seriously new, cool advancements in voice technology. From NXP's VIT to a new way to communicate with people who are deaf. When I was a kid, my mom had a couple friends who were deaf, who mostly used sign language to communicate with the outside world. And I think it was because of these wonderful ladies, who I would mostly see at parties, that made me so intrigued by American Sign Language and drew me to this next story. So recently, a group of bioengineers at UCLA created a special glove-like device that can translate American Sign Language into English spoken speech in real time through a smartphone app. So in these gloves are thin, stretchable sensors that run the length of each of the fingers. Now, it's these sensors that are especially cool. They're actually made from electrically conducting yarns. From there, the electrical signals that are created by the movement of the fingers are sent to a circuit board worn on the wrist, which is about the size of a quarter. And then their custom machine learning algorithm turns these gestures into numbers, letters, and words. And in real time, these gestures are reflected back in the smartphone app with the corresponding spoken word, letter, or number. When testing their design, these researchers at UCLA worked with four people who were deaf and use American Sign Language, and they were asked to repeat the same hand gesture 15 times. This team also added adhesive sensors to the faces of the people in the test, one right on the side of their mouths and another between their eyebrows. This was to help capture the facial expressions that are also part of American Sign Language. And what they found was pretty cool. Their new design was able to recognize 660 signs, including each number from 0 to 9 and each letter of the alphabet. So, why is this design cooler than the rest? Well, previous designs had issues with the amount of translation they could do, and were quite bulky and not very comfortable to wear. This team contends that their design, which they have filed a patent for, sets itself apart from the pack because not only is their design inexpensive and lightweight, but the sensors themselves are inexpensive and flexible. This team does point out that a commercial version of this design would have a faster translation time and would require even more vocabulary. So, if you want even more information about this study or this group from the Wearable Bioelectronics Research Group at UCLA, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com. All right, it's time to bring in Laurent Pilati from NXP. Laurent and I are talking about NXP's Voice Intelligent Technology, or VIT. What is better, speech recognition on the edge or on the cloud? And what benchmark metrics are involved for qualifying a voice design? All right, let's get started. Hi, Laurent. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hello, thank you.
Okay, so we're talking about machine learning for voice technology today. But first, how did we get to where we are today? What do you see are the biggest challenges in this arena?
So it has been quite a lot of improvement, I would say, in the past 5 years. I really well remember in Mobile World Congress, we were doing the first voice recognition demo that was pretty awful. We were using isolated booths and we had to speak very slowly, like open Facebook, and that was really unnatural. And now we have to say it's fully reliable and it become incredibly useful. So first, why was it difficult? First of all, voice recognition is split in many different blocks. You have the microphone, and here microphone manufacturer improved a lot. Then there is the second block, which is the audio front end, which try to clean up the signals. And then we have the feature extraction, the acoustic modeling, language models, the decoders. All these different blocks has improved a lot. So how did we get there? I think we have to recognize four main contributors. First of all, the worldwide research community. So being universities, laboratories worked a lot on that topic. I think we all believe that will be the year of the voice. Every year we believe it's the year of the voice, but now it's really happening. Second point is that voice databases, you know, for machine learning, this is what you need to feed into the algorithm. And now we can say that large databases are easily available. The third one is GitHub. I think we have to recognize that everyone can start a machine learning project in just in a minute. It's probably not product grade, but it's a good baseline to start with. And finally, also, we have to recognize that Amazon has been a key company to evangelize voice devices at home. So
okay, so what kind of solutions do you see playing a role in the advancement of voice technology in this arena? I would imagine that we need a local solution in addition to a cloud-based solution as well.
Yeah, so to deploy voice technology in a local solution, what has been really key in terms of technology, I believe, is the fact that we have been able to build some acoustic model. An acoustic model is here to split the sound units in phonemes. And then you can have a decoder which will detect the sequence of phonemes to detect any kind of voice commands. And this allows to detect any commands or any wake word your customer would like to implement for their product. And this is helping to avoid recording big databases as the standard approach of machine learning is, right? Previously, if you had to build a wake word, you had to record like thousands of target wake words. And the reality is that for many products, the cost of this database acquisition in terms of time and in terms of money were not justified for the voice features. So this generic acoustic model now is helping a lot, and this is helping to deploy voice on the local solutions.
So, do you think speech recognition on the edge can be better than the cloud?
So that's a good question. And even our customer are asking us, okay, what's our view? What's the performance? So first of all, you need to build the metric. But I have to say that in NXP, we have an audio lab and we benchmark full ASR, like cloud solution versus local voice. And I have to say that for a reduced task, which is like reducing the number of words or number of commands to detect like below 30 voice commands, I would say. And the local voice can be as good just because you are reducing the space of research. The beauty of that is also that it's private by design, running fully on edge. So that's why NXP is investing a lot on deploying voice on local edge.
So, Laurent, what are the benchmark metrics involved for qualifying a voice product?
Okay, so here again, I believe Amazon has been instrumental of, I would say, evangelizing the metrics of a voice solution for this industry. You know, the voice industry, for some reason, is not driven by the usual standardization organization like ETSI or ITU, but mainly all the local voice companies are relying on Amazon working in building those metrics. So there is a kind of standard like benchmarking the hit rate in silence, in noise condition, different type of noise, different distance, 1 meter up to 3 meters, different type of noise content. The false positives is also usually we consider to have less than 3 false positives in a day. And doing that with machine learning, it means almost 100% of accuracy, which is very challenging to achieve. Finally, the low power is also, I would say, a challenging criteria because it involves hardware in the sense that you probably need also to reduce the clock of your microphone. So it's much more than deep learnings. And if we go further and then we use the standard ASR metrics like word error rate or all these kind of metrics.
So I've been interested in NXP's voice intelligent technology or VIT. But for my audience who does not know, what is VIT all about?
So it's a local voice software product, which is deployed within MCU Expresso for most of NXP MCU and MPU. So it's based really on state-of-the-art of the deep learning technologies for voice interface. It provides a complete integration of three blocks. First of all, you have an audio front-end, 2-3 microphone for far field. So it's a hybrid solution, meaning combining signal processing and deep learning. Second block is a wake word. So it's text-to-model, as I said before. We are using an acoustic model, which means customer can build their own wake words. And then we have the last block, which is the voice command, and again, text-to-model technology, which means the customer can build their own voice command. So this is all running on NXP EVK using the onboard microphone, fully integrated, and basically customer can build a local voice product in a minute. Each time there is a DSP on MCU, we run VIT on a DSP so that we leave the ARM core to the customer. So it's really the voice enablement for NXP on MCU and MPU. Then for really specific use cases in terms of languages or in terms of performances, we go with specific partners that we have benchmarked in advance in our audio lab, as I was mentioning before.
So where do you see this kind of machine learning for voice technology headed in the future? What do you think are the biggest challenges for deep learning for voice in the future?
Okay, so as I said, for voice, there are different blocks. So I will try to keep the same approach. But first of all, today, for the audio front end, I've been discussing before, we are today using multiple microphones. And that's coming from the signal processing era, I would say. But reducing the number of microphones, that would be the next challenge for deep learning. And today, the state of the art of single channel speech separation has improved a lot. We see a lot of publication doing speech separation or noise reduction using single channel. That will be, I would say, the next big task for the deep learning in audio processing. Second challenge, I would say, for the future will be a fully end-to-end, meaning that going from time to domain, transcription or text intent, I would say. Today, we are still a little bit some feature extraction, like to go from time domain to frequency domain or mail band domain. But we start seeing really fully end-to-end, and that will be, as it is usually in machine learning, that will be the way to go for improving the performance. Something which we don't see a lot and that could improve will be the federated learning, combining multiple learnings from multiple devices. In NXP, we are also working on multimodal, so combining to the voice the video interface. This could help for waking up the device, for detection intention, or also multi-factor authentication. And finally, running the full ASR on small MCU and globally, more generally speaking, I would say the tiny ML, I mean, having small models on small MCU, that will allow to deploy voice on the smaller MCU, right? And that will be my last point in terms of the biggest challenge. That will be to run, and it's not necessarily related to only voice, but to the deep learning on MCU, that will be to optimize the machine learning deployment by having a good optimization in terms of model deployment, meaning from your deep learning model, ensure that you can port it on MCU, keeping the good accuracy while making it efficient on your platform. So this requires good quantization, eventually quantization aware, meaning you quantize during your training, etc. And I believe we are still at the beginning on that, and we can improve a lot on this domain.
Excellent. All right, Laurent, it is time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, since you haven't been on my show before, lately I've been doing a COVID food-related question. So here we go. If you could have one food right now, it doesn't matter if the restaurant's closed, you need a passport to get there, what would you have?
I will go to take a beer in California.
Why so? Why would you choose a beer in California?
It's not only the food which is missing, right? It's like, you know, a bottle of wine, if you only have the bottle, is okay. But what is missing with the food is also the overall context of having a beer on a beach with friends. Or so
yeah.
what I'm really missing is the food with all the overall context, with having nice beer with friends in South California. That was my biggest dream in terms of food that I would do without COVID.
I like that. That's a perfect answer. Well, Laurent, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, check out AmeliaD1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, sure, I dig it. You can follow me or us on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series, hosted by yours truly. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can subscribe to this here podcast through Spotify, Podbean, or Apple Podcasts. And remember, if you want to further support this program, don't forget to leave us a review and as many stars as you would like. If you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, or heck, you just want to chat, I promise I will respond. Shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of April 16th, 2021, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.